I invite you to turn in the Bible with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. It's a little book that we don't read often. So 2 Thessalonians 2, and our reading begins on page 797 in the New Testament. Page 797. And we will read beginning at verse 16 through chapter 3, verse 5. The last 2 weeks we have considered open your ears at Christmas, open your eyes at Christmas. This morning, open your heart for Christmas. And before we read God's word again, let us bow to pray. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit into each heart here this morning, that as we read your word and hear it explained, we will understand and believe and rejoice in Christ, the newborn King. We pray in his name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 16. Pay careful attention to this, for it is the very word of God. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas is a time for giving, of course, but it's also a time for receiving. And as much as we like to give, and there is great joy in giving, I hope you experience, we desperately need to receive from God. He sees our needs and hears our prayers, and now he comes to give. The heart of the Christmas message has to do with the heart of a generous and gracious God. The heart of Christmas is not the gifts that you and I give. It is not peace on earth in the shallow sense that people talk of it this time of year. It is not love in some shallow human sort of way. The heart of Christmas is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's Christmas. Christmas is the Father and the Spirit giving the Son, who gave his life that we might live, and who to this day gives the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. That's verse 5 that we read. This translation here has the patience of Christ. The word behind patience and the meaning of that word really is perseverance. So that's the word I'm going to use this morning. Direct into love and into perseverance. That's the structure of the sermon. And when we open our hearts for Christmas, God does that. Directs us into love and perseverance. So first of all, the Lord directs. There are lots of examples of that. If you're new in a school and you can't find your class, you ask someone where that room is. If you're driving in a strange city, some here, at least, would humble themselves to ask for directions. Others, of course, would rather drive all day before stooping so low. Or a choir has a director. Now, that director isn't someone who just tells you what to do. That's a poor choir director. But a good one takes you there. In a sense, he or she will clear away the obstacles for you so that you can find the right notes and figure out the timing and know where to breathe and all of that. When the Lord directs us, he doesn't just tell us. He doesn't just point over there. You can't miss it, right? He doesn't even settle for drawing a map. He clears the way for us to go, and what's more, by His Holy Spirit, He takes us there. Direct has the sense of making the path straight for us, of guiding us along the way, of clearing the way so that we can make it. Listen again to verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. There's an expanded version of that just a page earlier in 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning at verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts. There's even more. Not just pointing the way or clearing the way, but He's making it happen, establishing your hearts. Blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. When God directs us into His love, He clears out all that is unlove. Any unlove in your heart? Any need for God to establish, to make firm His love in you? I hope I'm not the only one here. And when God directs us into Christ's perseverance, He takes away our natural desire to run from problems and gives to us courage to face them. When God directs, there can be no misdirection of our hearts or our lives. We read in verse 2 of chapter 3 about unreasonable and wicked men. Wicked there means out of place. Men who shouldn't be there because they harbor sin in their heart. And sin is always out of place in our hearts, in the heart and life of a Christian. So when God directs us, He directs us naturally, supernaturally, out of sin. And so we have to ask ourselves, each of us, is He directing me? Am I harboring a sin? Am I sheltering my favorite sin so that I can enjoy it here on the side where no one knows, supposedly? Or is He directing me And do I sense the presence of God and the power of God that I can resist temptation? God's directing doesn't mean that there's no temptation. We wish there were, that that was the case. But God's directing does mean that He changes our hearts. He changes, I love the term that the Puritans use, our affections. What do you set your heart on? What do you draw enjoyment from? Where do you find happiness and meaning? Where your answer to that is where your heart lies, where your affections are. And God directing us means He's changing that from finding enjoyment and satisfaction in sin to finding enjoyment and satisfaction in the Lord. That's His directing. And then we read in verse 3, the Lord is faithful. Isn't that good? Paul isn't saying, I'm faithful, so follow me. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He will ground you in what is good and true and beautiful. Because He is faithful to accomplish that. So now as we look back over the year 2016, or you look back over the last 5 years, or 10, or 20, or more, do you see movement forward? Do you sense that your affections are being molded and shaped more by God to what is holy in His sight? Our journey through life, our spiritual pilgrimage, is one that God directs. And when He directs, there can be no misdirection. With the Lord making the way straight, clearing the way, second, He guides us into His love. The love of God by which He chooses us to be His sons and daughters. His love for His people in which He longs for us. He longs, when you sing here on a Sunday morning, do you understand that God stops what He's doing to listen? You don't have to be a great singer. That's not the point. He loves to hear His people sing praises to Him. He longs for our worship. He longs for our hearts to be faithful to Him and take delight in Him. As the hymn goes, Thy love to me, O Christ, Thy love to me, not mine to Thee I plead, not mine to Thee. This is my comfort strong. This is my joyful song, Thy love to me. Christmas is a time to give, yet before we can give a thing, we must first receive. And nowhere is that more clear than in God's love. We are first receivers, and then we are givers. Paul, in writing this letter, is about to reprimand lazy and idle people. And here he's reminding everyone of God's love. And the connection is this. When we know God's love, it will show. When we have received God's love through Jesus Christ, we will want to love others. And love is not lazy or idle. We'll be committed to loving others Not just saying the word and not just when it's easy. We'll be diligent in giving. Sometimes that takes us out of our comfort zone. But our eyes are not on what we are accumulating, but on the needs of others, so that what we have is given to us often so that we might meet the needs of others. God directs us into His love. Remember that. He directs us into His love. A love which is patient and kind, which does not envy or boast or brag. How is your love? The love of God to us, and therefore our love to others, is not rude or self-seeking. It isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Is this your love? God's love to us and through us always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Is this your love? We all owe our all to God because of His gracious, His graceful love. All of us. It is said that the ground at the cross is level ground. So is the ground at the manger. There's no room in the presence of the Savior for impatience or rudeness or anger or keeping score or pride. Not among those who owe everything to God. There's no room for hard feelings or a critical spirit among those who owe their all to the God who set His love on us and showed that at Bethlehem. We stand on level ground. We all are sinners saved by grace. May we all know and show that God is directing us into His love. And He directs us into Christ's perseverance. Praise Him for that too. In times of trouble or persecution or heartache or self-doubt, we endure. Maybe that was 2016 for you. Trials and troubles. And how did you get out? How did you get this far? We're a week away from the end of the year. How did you make it? Because the Lord is faithful. And we don't know what 2017 holds. But we know one thing. The Lord is faithful. And when everything seems to go against us, we persevere because the Lord is faithful. Very simple, very profound, very true. We hold out, we stand firm because the Lord establishes His people. Most of us, I'm guessing, have had a conversation with the Lord that went something like this. Lord, when You said, never will I leave You, never will I forsake You, did You mean it? When You said through Paul that You direct our hearts, my heart, into God's love and Christ's perseverance, did You mean that? And His answer every time is yes. There are examples of God's faithfulness in Hebrews 11. You know that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's the hall of fame of heroes of the faith. That's one way to look at it. The other way, it's God's faithfulness to the people named there. And then the word to us in chapter 12, therefore, because of chapter 11, because of their faithfulness through a God who is faithful to them, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. By the grace of God, by His directing our hearts into His love, we can persevere, even as our Savior did. We can hold on and stand firm in what He called us to do. Christmas is a time for opening our hearts to what God is doing. And what He's doing is directing us into His love and into Christ's perseverance. God opened His heart and showed us the extent of His love. He sent His own Son. And then the Son opened His heart and His arms and showed the extent of His love and died and rose again, so that we might hear the angels' song, Peace on Earth, and so that we would praise and honor Him, delight in Him, and be satisfied only and fully in the Lord Jesus. Know and show that God is directing you now and always. And to Him be the glory forever and ever. For our prayer, I'd like to borrow one from David in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Let us pray together. Blessed are You, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is Yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from You, and You reign over all. In Your hand is power and might. In Your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank You and praise Your glorious name. Through Jesus. Amen.